This, as you will appreciate, is the fourth address under the heading that we have mentioned before, the Feast of Yahweh. And we go straight into this without an introductory reading. And so, it is my pleasure to invite Brother Ray to speak to us on trumpets.
The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, and we shall be changed. Those are the wonderful prospects, brethren and sisters, in the household of faith, that we have seen presented to us so far as we have presented the subjects of the Feast of Yahweh before us today. And the Feast of the Trumpets now again focuses our minds upon that which is in prospect. The resurrection, the raising from the dead, that being changed from one form to another. And so it was in retrospect, brethren and sisters, that we have seen in the law the shadow of these good things to come. And the nation of Israel as a nation were very reluctant in understanding the divine principles which were concealed and yet revealed to them in the law which God gave to them. And we who constitute spiritual Israel also need to bear in mind that we too have a responsibility and a commitment to understanding the prospects by looking in retrospect at the things which God has revealed. And that has come over to us very forcefully as we've listened to our brethren today. And so we follow the same principle. And we go back in retrospect to the law. And we see in the context of our subject, the Feast of Trumpets, that the nation of Israel had set aside these feasts, these appointed times, and particularly these in the seventh month, brought the nation's activities to a wonderful and tremendous climax. And the Feast of Trumpets is now introducing, and is, as it were, a prelude to that which was to come, to the Day of Atonement, to the Feast of Tabernacles, which were subsequently to take place in this same month in which we're considering our subject. And so from the daily sacrifice of the evening and morning, of the continual burnt offering, to the keeping of the Sabbath, and we've seen all that that entailed by Brother Don's remarks this morning, and the Passover, and the first fruits all brought the nation of Israel to a time of anticipation. And so without any further delay, let us go to the 10th chapter of the book of Numbers, and we want to have a look at three specific aspects of Scripture this afternoon which deal precisely and specifically with the Feast of Trumpets. Now in this 10th chapter of the book of Numbers, we are introduced to an interesting feature which enabled this to take place. Verse 1 of Numbers chapter 10. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver, a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeyings of the camp. And so here we are introduced, brethren and sisters, to the making of the silver trumpet. And we are told here quite clearly in the shadow and in the types and in the patterns of the law that silver focused the mind of Israel upon redemption. And we've had that theme presented to us, haven't we, so far today. This wonderful theme of divine redemption. And here it is concealed and revealed in the making of these two trumpets. and we see further that it was made of a whole piece. An indication that it had to be shaped and fashioned and tried and tested. Elements which the nation of Israel were very familiar with. The whole history of Israel shows how they too went through periods of being tried and tested. We have that quotation from Deuteronomy 8, how that God did these things to prove them. Whether they would do what he said, whether they would be obedient, whether they would be faithful or not. And the same principles apply to spiritual Israel, don't they, brethren and sisters? That we too go through a period of tribulation, of testing, of being shaped and formed and fashioned. And we had an example of that brought to our notice this morning in that man Abraham, that man of faith, who was tested and tried and formed and shaped and fashioned. And he came out of that with the divine account that it was accounted to him for faithfulness. And so we too, brethren and sisters, in these last days, need to take comfort and consolation from the Spirit Word that whatever our lot may be, our character is being formed and shaped and fashioned out of this human flesh and nature which we bear. And then we are told that it was used for the calling of the assembly. If we go into verse 3, and when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle. Verse 4, and if they blow with one, then the princes and the heads of the thousands of Israel shall gather themselves together. Verse 5, and when ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. Verse 6, and when ye blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. But when the congregation, verse 7, is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And so there were two trumpets, brethren and sisters. Again, we've had brought to our attention the spiritual principle and the power and the meaning of the number two. And here again was brought to the attention of the nation of Israel these divine principles of separation and witness. Something which the nation of Israel was commanded to do, to separate themselves and to witness. And the same principles apply to us, brethren and sisters, who are spiritual Israel, because the activities in which we engage on the first day of the week are first of all an activity of separation, the breaking of bread and the drinking of wine. It is something that is peculiar and special. It separates us. It's an act of separation. No one else who does not understand the things concerning the kingdom of God or the name of Jesus Christ can share in that feast. And our activity on a Sunday evening is to witness to the gospel message, to the Spirit Word. And so there on that day we assemble and are separated and we give witness to the Word of God. And these principles are revealed and concealed in the life of natural Israel. Verse 8 shows and directs our minds as to who it was who were to use these trumpets. Verse 8, and the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an audience forever throughout your generation. And so Eleazar and Ithamar, whose names mean God is a help, and the place of the palm, or the place of redemption, again directs our thoughts and focuses our minds upon these principles. That God, the deity, the creator of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, he alone is our help. He alone is the one who offers us salvation and redemption. He alone is the only one who can help us as individuals, as an ecclesia, as a household of faith, out of the situation in which we find ourselves. And we find when we come to examine the purpose and the use of these trumpets, which we've just read from verses 3 to 7, that they were used for at least, there may be more, but in my examination of this material, there appears to be, brothers and sisters, five particular uses and functions of these trumpets. First of all, we see that it was used to give a warning and an alarm. They were used to cause the nation to assemble and gather together. They were used to declare judgment and justice. They were used for peace and liberation, as we shall see later on in the day. And they were used as an expression of joy and gladness. Five particular functions of the trumpet. A demonstration of something which is concealed and revealed in the law. It was not just a law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, brothers and sisters. It was a law which had the divine characteristics embedded in it. And the divine characteristics are the love and the grace and the mercy of the Creator. And they are here, revealed and concealed in the Feast of the Trumpets. And when you come to examine it further, there is one common element throughout all those functions. Because without a trumpet, you can shout a word of alarm. You can call an assembly. You can declare justice. You can speak peace. You can sing of joy and gladness. And so the type and the symbology of the trumpet, brothers and sisters, is that the trumpet was an extension of the mouth. It was the voice. One can shout an alarm. One can call an assembly. One can declare judgment. One can speak peace. One can sing of joy and gladness. And so the trumpet is, as it were, the voice. And it was the voice of Yahweh that is here depicted. Yahweh spake unto Moses. And we've had reference to the pioneers this morning. And it's Brother Robert who talks about that verse which we quote very often as a support of the scriptures, that the word is inspired. It is God-breathed. The inspiration, the God-breathing of the Word of God. Every word of God is inspired. It is God-breathed. It is as a result of the spoken word, the voice of the Creator. And if we go to Isaiah 58, there we have just one reference which supports that very principle. Just one brief reference. The opening verse of the 58th chapter of Isaiah, and here the prophet is, as it were, is pleading and beseeching his Creator to intervene in the nation of Israel. Verse 1 of Isaiah 58, "Cry aloud," says the prophet, "spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." And so here we see the symbology behind the instrument that we're considering this afternoon. And so in type and in shadow and in symbol, the trumpet was, as it were, the voice of Yahweh. And it was the voice of Yahweh that sounded the alarm and that called them together and that declared judgment and so on and so forth. And then when we come down to the ninth verse of Numbers 10, back in Numbers chapter 10, "If ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before Yahweh your Elohim, and ye shall be saved from your enemies." And when you examine and study these details, brothers and sisters, here you see that it is referring to the nation of Israel and saying, you, as individuals, as a nation, will blow the trumpet. So that the voice here is related to the nation of Israel. and the voice of the nation of Israel had to reflect the voice of their Creator, so that there was a reciprocation, there was an intertwining of the spoken word, that what God had declared, they responded and they were obedient. And so there became a fellowship, a sharing, having a common mind and a common thought. And that's the objective of spiritual Israel, brothers and sisters, that our life is given us in order that our character might be fashioned, so that our prayers and the meditations of our heart are based upon the Spirit Word, and our meditations and our thoughts and our words, our spoken words, and our words which are sung in praise, are those which reflect and represent the divine principles. That's why it's so important that we sing hymns which are in accordance with the Spirit Word. No good singing any rubbish, brethren and sisters. It's not pleasing to the Father, neither was it pleasing to the God of Israel when they spoke things which were not in accordance with his principles. And so we see how serious and how important the words, the meditations of our heart and mind are, and that they need to be related to the things which are revealed in the Spirit Word. Because it then goes on to say in verse 10, also, in the day of your gladness, this is the spirit of national Israel that should have been manifested, brothers and sisters. It was to be a day of joy and rejoicing and gladness. And in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginning of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that ye may, that they may be to you a memorial for your God. And so we see on the first day of every month, there was to be a blowing of trumpets. On the first day of every month, a blowing of trumpets. They had to have the opportunity of expressing in prayer and in praise and in meditation the divine principles which have been revealed to them. To remember some of the wonders and the marvels of the things which we have heard this morning in relation to the keeping of the Sabbath and the Passover and the first fruits, that they needed to comprehend in their minds what the plan and purpose of God was, how that their redemption was in the Passover, in the shedding of blood, and in the faith and belief in understanding what the shedding of that blood was. And so at the beginning of every month, there was an opportunity for them to be reminded of these wonders which the God of Israel had invited and brought the nation of Israel to. Let us now go to the chapter which has already been referred to a number of times, and that's Leviticus 23, because in this particular chapter and in the context of this chapter, we see the whole of the year of the nation of Israel brought before us. And as Brother Don pointed out, we have seen how significant it is to look at the whole year. Our life is measured by years. And so the life of an Israelite, a Hebrew, was measured by years. And here in this 23rd chapter of the book of Leviticus, we have the year of Israel brought before us. And so in the 23rd verse of this chapter, there is the brief reference to what happened on the first of a month. Not the first of any month, but the first of a particular month. Verse 23 of Leviticus 23, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, and in the first of that month, shall ye have a Sabbath And so here we see this continuing theme, as Brother Don said would most certainly happen, that every feast of Yahweh is identified with the Sabbath. And so this first day of the seventh month was to be a Sabbath. And all that relates to the memorial of the Sabbath was to be brought to mind on the first day of the seventh month, because this was the first day of the civil month, of the first month of the civil year, as well as being the seventh month of the religious year. And so it was a day set aside as a Sabbath. And it continues in that theme, ye shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing, and holy convocation, a gathering together, a separation, a setting apart, which is what that phrase means, and ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. And so here we are introduced to what the Jewish community now identify as Rosh Hashanah, which is the head of the year. It was the first day of the civil year, but it was the first day of the seventh month of the religious year. And particular and special attention is given to the fact that this was different to the first day of every other month. They had to remember that it was to be a Sabbath. They had to remember that it was going to be a blowing of the trumpets. They had to remember that it was doing no work. And they had to remember that they had to make an offering, a particular offering, which is not identified here, but we want to look at it in a few moments. Now, if you'll come with me to the 81st Psalm, we have an interesting development in this feast of trumpets. We've seen from Numbers 10 that they had two silver trumpets, and we've seen the function and the use that they were put to. But now if we go to Psalm 81, looking at the opening verses of that psalm, we read, sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob, take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery, blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. And that is our direct reference, brethren and sisters, not to the new moon of any month, but to the new moon of the seventh month. Blow ye the trumpet in the new moon in the time appointed. The feast of Yahweh were the times appointed. They were the appointed meeting times, the appointed meetings and gatherings together of the nation of Israel, and the feast of trumpets was one of them. The Feast of Trumpets on the first day of the seventh month. Here it is, a solemn feast day. But the interesting feature about this, brothers and sisters, is this was not referring to the silver trumpets. These are not the silver trumpets referred to here. The word trumpet in verse 3 is the shofar trumpet. A different trumpet altogether. A trumpet which the nation of Israel had already used before that one that we saw mentioned in Numbers chapter 10. And it's the one that we find referred to in Exodus chapter 19. And we know Exodus chapter 19 in its context, brethren and sisters, was that great occasion when the nation of Israel were gathered and assembled together. One of the functions of the trumpet, one of the purposes of the trumpet. And here, the shofar trumpet is referred to in this 19th chapter of Exodus. Verse 16 of Exodus 19, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet, the shofar trumpet, which was a harsh, strident, jarring note, something that you could not forget, something which would draw your attention, something which was splitting upon the ears, which is what the original Hebrew word conveys. It was splitting upon the ears. It was harsh. It was jarring. It was something which you could not forget. An element which Brother Reg referred to in his remarks, how that the nation of Israel, it was imparted upon them that they should never forget the love and the mercy and the wonders that the Creator of the universe had revealed to the nation of Israel. And it's in this context and in this chapter which the Creator of the universe, Yahweh, the God of Israel, said that he would enter into a covenant with them, a covenant that invited them to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That was the covenant, brothers and sisters, and that was the covenant they needed to remember on the first day of the seventh month, because it related to these events. And we see how these events have come out in chronology and in that order in the addresses we've heard today, how we've been taken back to the nation of Israel in the land of Egypt, and how they were miraculously brought and delivered out of the land of Egypt, how they travelled through the wilderness, and how ultimately they went into the promised land. And in between that, of course, there was the introduction of the Passover, the manna, and the feeding, and the giving of the law, and the nation entered into covenant. We saw in that 23rd chapter of Leviticus that it was said to the nation of Israel that on that particular day they needed to offer an offering that was to be made by fire. And if we go to the 29th chapter of the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 29, we are now brought into focus, and we have detailed before us what that offering was to consist of. So this was a particular offering that was associated and identified with this particular day. Numbers 29 and verse 1, in the seventh month and on the first day, so there's no doubt as to the time and the day that's been referred to, ye shall have an holy convocation, ye shall do no servile work, it is a day of blowing the trumpets unto you, and ye shall offer a burnt offering for a sweet savour unto Yahweh, one young bullock, one ram, and seven lambs of the first year without blemish. And their meal offering shall be of flour mingled with oil, 3/10 deals for a bullock, 2/10 deals for a ram, and 1/10 deal for one lamb throughout the seven lambs. One kid of the goats for a sin offering to make an atonement for you. Now when we come to examine this particular offering, brethren and sisters, we find that there is reference made to the bullock, symbolic of the strength and the work of the nation of Israel. There is reference made to the lamb, whose power and energy is identified in that animal. There was the seven lambs, again, identifying with the covenant which the nation of Israel had entered into, and particularly in the shed blood, and faith in the shedding of that blood. And there was the meal or food offering, and there was an offering of the kid of the goats, which has to do with the pride and the self-confidence of human nature. And all those elements are identified in this particular offering, brothers and sisters. And we're told in Leviticus that it was an offering that had to be offered through fire. The fire being symbolic of the Spirit Word. And so it had to be an offering, brothers and sisters, which they understood. They have to understand the divine principles revealed in the law. And if they didn't, then it was of none effect. And so it is with us, brothers and sisters, because these animals represent in their entirety a whole life dedicated in service to the creator of the universe. And that's the covenant into which the nation of Israel had entered. And they were being reminded about these things, so that in being reminded about these things, when they express themselves, when they wish to communicate with their creator, their voice could be as the blowing of a trumpet. It would be reflecting the spirit word. And the fire represents the spirit word. It had to be an offering that was consumed by the fire of the spirit word. And the same applies to us, brethren and sisters. Our offerings of praise and thanksgiving, our life of dedication in service, we have said we believe the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. We say, yes, our hope is the hope of Israel. But if our hope and our aspirations are not fired by the Spirit word, they are of none effect. They are unacceptable. And so it was with Israel. And so we see how important and how specific and how detailed the Spirit word is, brothers and sisters, and how that this word of the law, which perhaps when we come to read it in our readings doesn't appeal to us, we see how vital and how significant and how instructive it is that we might, having looked in retrospect at the law, might better appreciate what there is in prospect. Because if we just for a few moments look at this offering that was offered on this day and come to analyse it a little, we find there was one bullock, there was one ram, there were seven lambs and one kid of the goats. And if you put those together, you find that there were five specific offerings. A bullock, a ram, seven lambs, a meal offering, and a kid. Five specific offerings. And there, concealed and revealed again, is the mercy and the grace of Yahweh revealed to the nation of Israel. And we know that our lives also have been reciprocal to the grace and the mercy of God. We have been called out of Egypt. We have responded to the blood of the Lamb. We have realized and recognized that of our own selves we can do nothing, and that if we want to escape eternal oblivion, then we need to take hold with both hands the offer of salvation and redemption which is revealed in the Spirit word. And so we see that that which happened to natural Israel, as we've been reminded of today, first that which was natural, and then that which is spiritual. And this becomes a living word, a living and powerful word, as the Apostle Paul says in the Epistle to the Hebrews. But if we look a little further at this, we find that there were not only five specific offerings, but there were 10 blood offerings. If there were seven lambs, a bullock, a ram, and a kid of the goat, there were 10 blood offerings given. Again, we've had brought to our minds the significance of the number 10, how that it refers to the divine order, the whole and complete divine perfection that was revealed in that number, and that was what the nation of Israel should have been manifesting as a nation. Thou shalt be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Holy, completely, a perfect nation reflecting the divine qualities and the divine characteristics, the family characteristics, that which is manifested in the name of the Father. And there were also, when we come to look at it in verse 3, there was in the meal offering, there were two ingredients, one of flour mingled with oil. And that flour mingled with oil, again, brothers and sisters, brings together the natural and the spiritual. The flour, the flesh, sometimes it's in the context where it has to be ground very small. And so human nature has to go through a period of tribulation and testing and proving. We have to be ground very small. Human nature has to be tested. And it has to be mixed with oil. And we know from the parable that the Master spoke that the oil has to do with the Word of God. And so our lives, this body of flesh and blood, has to be mixed with the oil of the Spirit word. and it will then become acceptable in the sight of the Creator. And if we put those together, then we find the 10 blood offerings and the 2 non-blood offerings bring a total of 12 aspects, 12 particular elements in this offering that was made. And 12, of course, in the spirit word context, reveals to us that it is an age of accountability, as one example. It is the number which relates things to the nation of Israel. It is the Israelitish aspect of our hope. And it is also the governmental perfection which is revealed in the spirit world. It also speaks, of course, of a new Jerusalem and a new beginning. The 12s of the book of the Apocalypse direct and focus one's mind on a new beginning, a new Jerusalem. And verse 6 tells us, besides this offering that they made on the seventh month, the first day of the seventh month, that particular offering was besides or in addition to the burnt offering of the month and the meal offering and the daily burnt offering. And so here we see that this day would be a very special day, brethren and sisters, because it was a day when both the silver trumpet and the shofar trumpet were blown. It was a blowing of trumpets. It was a day when it was a Sabbath day, which would remind them of the activities and the purpose of God revealed in the teachings of the Sabbath day. It was a day which was set aside as the first of the month, a new beginning, and it was to direct their minds back to the days when the nation of Israel had a new beginning, when it came out of Egypt as a nation, how that the love and mercy of God was manifested to them, how that they saw the judgments of God upon the nation of Egypt. All these things relate to the natural nation of Israel, and we see as we follow those principles through, brethren and sisters, that they relate to us today who claim to be spiritual Israel, because we too have come out of Egypt. We have seen the wonder and the power of the Word of God, because we have comprehended the only begotten of the Father, the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world. We have been provided with spiritual food which is adequate for our spiritual and eternal well-being, just as there was food provided for natural Israel, which was adequate for their well-being until they entered into the land. And so all these things were done in shadow and in type and symbol, brothers and sisters, that they might bring to mind to the nation of Israel, that they might recollect, that they might never forget the things which Yahweh had revealed to them and the purpose to which God had brought creation into being, that he might fill this earth with a community of people, men and women, redeemed by the blood of his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, we are living in the last days. We are living, as it were, in the time of the end. We are living in a time and an age when there is a blowing of trumpets. And just as the law portrayed that the trumpet was an extension of the voice of God, when we come to study the book of the Apocalypse, we find the phrase repeated time and time again. A great voice, a great voice, a strong voice, a loud voice. And it was the voice of Yahweh, brothers and sisters, being revealed to John on the Isle of Patmos. And that was written and recorded that you and I might read and understand the things which are happening in the latter days. In fact, every generation from the time of the Master until now have had the benefit and the privilege of being able to discern the sign of the times as a result of the voice, the trumpet that has gone forth. And so when we come to analyse the book of the Apocalypse, we find that there were 7 trumpets. And 6 of them have already happened, and we are living in the days of the 7th trumpet, or the 3rd woe trumpet. We are now living in the day of that trumpet. Not a literal trumpet, but it's sounding out. Not to the world, they can't hear it. but those who are of faith. Those who are of faith, brethren and sisters, they can hear the sound of the trumpet. Day by day we see the current events taking place. We know that the angels of God are overseeing the events that are going on in the world today. And so they are, as it were, seeing the power and the will of God being unfolded. And the seventh trumpet is being sounded now. We are living through it. And that voice is long and strong. If we go into the New Testament, by way of bringing our thoughts to a conclusion, when one studies the detail of the trumpets, we're told that the shofar trumpet had three clear and distinct notes that it would sound, and they would appear to relate to three specific events. Because the shofar trumpet, as we've seen from Exodus 19, was used on its first occasion when the nation of Israel was gathered together. There was an assembly of the ecclesia of God in the wilderness. Now, when we come to the New Testament, there is reference made by the Apostle Paul, first of all in the first epistle to the Thessalonians, just briefly look at that one first. Because it would appear there are yet to sound out, brothers and sisters, three further clear notes of the trumpet. Not the literal trumpet, but the voice of God. The plan and purpose of God is yet to be unfolded and come to its consummation and fulfillment, and there are yet three clear notes to be sung and to ring out. For in this fourth chapter of the first epistle to the Thessalonians, just briefly reading, you're all familiar with these words, it's just that we want to focus our mind upon them in the context of our subject. For this we say, verse 15, says the Apostle Paul to the brethren and sisters at Thessalonica, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him. And so there is yet still, brethren and sisters, the work of the trumpet to go forth, the voice of the deity to sound out, to gather together three particular gatherings. The nation of Israel has yet to be gathered in its entirety, and that will be accomplished by the sounding of the trumpet, by the voice of God declaring that the nation of Israel is to be gathered into that land which they have been promised as a possession. There is to be also another trumpet note sung out for the gathering of the nations. For the nations are to be gathered and assembled together for first the specific work of judgment. Another work which is identified by the sound of the trumpet. It was to sound out as a means of alarm and war and judgment. And so the nations, the Gentile nations, are to be gathered and assembled by the sound of the trumpet. And they are to be gathered primarily for judgment. But there is another gathering together, brothers and sisters, for which the sound of the trumpet sings out, which we've read there. For the dead in Christ shall rise first. And so we go finally to the other reference in the New Testament, the Epistle to the Corinthians in the 15th chapter. Behold, verse 51 of Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And the offering which they offered on the seventh month and the first day, brothers and sisters, had to be offered by fire. It had to be consumed by fire. And here there will take place an assembly and a gathering together of people for judgment. And those who will be accepted and invited into the kingdom will be those who will have been changed. They will have been changed by this human body being consumed by the fire of the Spirit Word. Not to destroy it, that isn't the purpose of God, to destroy it, but to change it in one form which is unacceptable to him, as it is now, into a form which will be acceptable to him. A spirit body. A body energized by the power of the Spirit. So it isn't to destroy, brothers and sisters, but it's to change from one form which is unacceptable to a form which is acceptable. And that was the lesson that the nation of Israel should have learnt. And so in conclusion, brothers and sisters, it brings to mind a very well-known verse from one of the Psalms, which we sometimes unite in singing together, but it really makes it pregnant with meaning and understanding, because the psalmist said, "Blessed are the people that know the trumpet sound."